While politicians like Congressman Jackson thought Oppenheimer naive and guilty of poor judgment, Borden, as noted, was beginning to suspect him of far worse. On May 10, 1950, Borden read on the front page of the Washington Post that two former Communist Party members, Paul and Sylvia Crouch, had testified that Oppenheimer had once hosted a party meeting in his Berkeley home. In testimony before the California State Senate Un-American Activities Committee, the Crouches claimed that Kenneth May had driven them to Oppenheimer's home at 10 Kenilworth Court in July 1941. Hitler had recently invaded the Soviet Union, and as chairman of the Alameda County Communist Party, Paul Crouch was supposed to explain the party's new stand on the war. Some 20 to 25 people were present. Sylvia Crouch described the alleged meeting in Oppenheimer's home as a session of a top-drawer communist group known as a special section, a group so important that its makeup was kept secret from ordinary communists. She said that she and her husband were not introduced to anyone in the room. She only later identified her host as Oppenheimer when she saw him in a 1949 newsreel. The Crouches further claimed that after being shown photographs by the FBI, they could place David Bohm, George Eltington, and Joseph Weinberg at the same meeting. Sylvia named Weinberg as Scientist X, the individual labeled by the House Un-American Activities Committee as someone who gave atomic bomb secrets to a communist spy during the war. The California papers played these allegations as a bombshell. Paul Crouch was described as a West Coast Whitaker Chambers, a reference to the Time magazine editor and former communist whose testimony had led, on January 21, 1950, to the perjury conviction of Alger Hiss. Oppenheimer immediately issued a written statement denying the allegation. "I have never been a member of the Communist Party. I never assembled any such group of people for any such purpose in my home or anywhere else." Oppenheimer said he didn't recognize the name Crouch, and then he went on to say, "I have made no secret of the fact that I once knew many people in left-wing circles and belonged to several left-wing organizations. The government has known in detail of these matters since I first started work on the atomic bomb project." His denials were widely reported in the press and seemed to put the matter to rest. His friends offered their reassurances. Having read about the nasty thing in the California papers, David Lilienthal wrote Oppenheimer of the Crouch's testimony, "How utterly nauseating. But this is like a puff of wind against the Gibraltar of your great standing in American life." Lilienthal, however, was underestimating the effect of this testimony on less sympathetic minds. William Borden wrote a memo saying he found the Crouches' allegations inherently believable. Paul and Sylvia Crouch had been extensively interviewed by the FBI weeks before their May 1950 testimony in California. By then, they were paid informants on the payroll of the Justice Department and testifying regularly against alleged communists in security cases around the country. The son of a North Carolina Baptist preacher, Paul Crouch had joined the Communist Party in 1925. That same year, as an enlisted man in the U.S. Army, he wrote a letter to CP officials boasting that he had formed an Esperanto association as a front for revolutionary activity. The Army intercepted the letter and concluded that he had been organizing a communist cell at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. Court-martialed on the charge of fomenting revolution, Crouch was sentenced to an extraordinary 40 years in prison. At his trial, he testified, "I am in the habit of writing letters to my friends and imaginary persons, sometimes to kings and other foreign persons, in which I place myself in an imaginary position." Curiously, Crouch was pardoned by President Calvin Coolidge after serving only 3 years of his 40-year sentence in Alcatraz. It is not clear whether this was the result of being turned into a double agent, as his subsequent behavior would suggest, or just incredibly good luck. But upon his release, the Communist Party hailed him as a proletarian hero. For a short time, he worked alongside Whitaker Chambers as an editorial assistant on the Daily Worker. And then, in 1928, the party sent him to Moscow, where, he later claimed, he had lectured at the Lenin School and been awarded the honorary rank of colonel in the Red Army. He also asserted that he had met with Soviet Army Marshal M.N. Tukhachevsky, who had given him plans they had formulated for the penetration of the American armed forces. Actually, his Soviet hosts thought his behavior so unhinged that they soon sent him packing. Back in America, however, the Communist Party sent him on a tour of his native South, where he sang the praises of the socialist state and Comrade Stalin. Settling in Florida, he found work as a newspaper reporter and CP organizer. Inexplicably, one day he crossed a picket line and worked as a strikebreaker on a Miami newspaper. When his comrades discovered what he had done, Crouch fled to California, where, by 1941, he was serving as secretary of the Communist Party in Alameda County. He proved to be an unpopular comrade and an incompetent leader. "He spent a lot of his time drinking alone in bars," wrote Steve Nelson. In December 1941, or at the latest January 1942, local party members demanded his dismissal when he proposed activities that many felt would invite violence at street meetings. Had he moved from double agent to agent provocateur? Perhaps. But in any case, at this point, his party career came to an end, and by the late 1940s, he and his wife had made a remarkably smooth transition, emerging as professional witnesses against their former comrades. By 1950, Crouch was the most highly paid consultant on the Justice Department's payroll and would earn $9,675 in the following 2 years. Despite his bizarre career, initially Paul Crouch appeared to be a credible witness against Oppenheimer. Crouch was able to describe the interior layout of Oppenheimer's Kenilworth Court home. He told the FBI that the man he later identified as Oppenheimer had asked him several questions, and that after the formal meeting ended, he and Oppenheimer had spoken privately for 10 minutes. As he and Kenneth May were driving home from the meeting, May told him, according to Crouch, that he had been talking to one of the nation's leading scientists. Crouch's story had enough details to sound plausible and highly damaging. On the other hand, Oppenheimer had an alibi proving that he could not have hosted the CP meeting described by Crouch. Interviewed by FBI agents on April 29th and May 2nd, 1950, he explained that he and Kitty had been at their Perro Caliente ranch in New Mexico, 1,187 miles away from Berkeley. That was the summer he and Kitty had gone to New Mexico, leaving their newborn son Peter in the care of the Chevaliers. Oppenheimer later documented that he had been kicked by a horse on July 24th, 1941, and x-rayed the next day at a hospital in Santa Fe. Hans Bethe was visiting him at the time and vividly remembered the incident. 2 days later, on July 26th, Robert wrote a letter datelined Cales, New Mexico. Finally, there was also a record of the Oppenheimer car, with Kitty at the wheel, colliding with a New Mexico fish and game truck on the road to Pecos on July 28th. All of this made it clear that Oppenheimer had been continuously in New Mexico from at least July 12th through August 11th or 13th. Crouch was either mistaken, fantasizing, or lying regarding his claim to have seen Robert at a party meeting in late July in Kenilworth Court.